God is good. And all the time. We also know that the Lord has given his church three commands through his Son, our Lord and Savior, that we are to love God, love others, and go. And in those three commands, the entirety of the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, has been given to us. And as we submit ourselves to these three commands, we will work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So be it now, so be it forever. And may we continue in the word, for we know the word is truth. End of sentence. If you look at the book of Revelation in the English translation, what's the last thing you see in the book of Revelation? A period. There's no more to come. Enough said. But how many people live that way? It amazes me. But one of the things I want us to understand is that what we see going on today, it's kind of amazing, because see, I know what Pastor Dave's preaching next week, and I know what I'm preaching the week after, because you know the Lord does some really wonderful things in our hearts and minds. And from where we've been to where we're going here today, it's understanding that we are the same people that have always been and always will be. God has told us in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. How many of you believe that? Yeah. You know, I think it's funny, you know, but we've got all this technology. They didn't have that back when Jesus was around. No, but they had all the same problems. And we still have all the same problems. How many of you have enough hours in the day? Russell and I were talking. He said, Dad, I need 28 hours in every day and 8 days in every week. And I told him, I said, son, it don't happen, and be glad. I said, because I'll guarantee you. I said, when you get to be my age, you're going to wish there was 22 hours in a day and 5 days in a week. Because that makes the weekend come quicker. And he just looked at me and said, yeah, but that's when I got to do all my work at home. And I said, well, then maybe you need to spend 5 days at work. We live in the same place, and we're suffering the same things. But I want to give us the word of encouragement that is the word of life. Turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 3. This is a scripture that I have used a couple of times, and it's also, and I think it's funny because y'all know me, I call this one of my coloring book sermons, okay? Can y'all see that back there? It's all colored up. That's because this word is so replete with truth. And we're told to be prepared in season and out of season to give account, okay? And for me, this is one of those accounts that if anybody ever asks me, I want to be able to open my Bible and preach a sermon right to them. Tell them the truth. Tell them the way it is. And this is the way it is. It's the way it's always been, and it will yet be unto the coming of the Lord. From chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, in the first verse. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. When we read these words, the very first thing that sticks out to me is the very first line. In the last days, difficult times will come. Paul knew we've been in the last time since Christ entered heaven again. When he set up the church, this is the last age. It is called the age of grace. We are under grace through the church. that as we believe in Jesus Christ, in the word that he has given us, the gospel, so too have we life, and that life is eternal in him. And it's understanding that that's not going to make the world go away, is it? We're still going to be stuck in this thing until we get our ticket punched. Now, many people's tickets have been punched. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to carry my ticket on the train because I think the raptures are coming. Can I get an amen? You didn't say that loud enough. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When I'm looking around and I see the signs of the times and I see the things that are going on, I have to feel like they felt, that we don't know the day nor the hour. Can I get an amen out of the church? But by God, I'm living my life that I'm going to see him come out of the cloud and call me out. We're all going up. And if that don't happen, I'm not going to die disappointed because I'm still going to see him. But I'm going to live my life in such a way that I do not become one of these who is talked about afterwards. Because it's going to be difficult. This world's going to be difficult. And we're going to have people who are going to be lovers of self. Boy, there are no lovers of self in this world, are there? How many selfies do you get taken every day? You know, I just think about how this technology that we have, it is so wonderful. You know, I saw a meme the other day, or a video, or whatever you want to call it. It was on Facebook. And it was taken in 1976. And when I looked at those people, I thought, oh my gosh, that looks like me. You know, the heavy hair, okay, the bright shirts, and oh my goodness, it was 19. I was like, oh, Lord, bring back those days in my youth. No, let me be where I am. But they said to this young couple was a young man and a young woman. And they said, you know, they're predicting that in the future, people will carry a phone in their pocket and you'll be able to take videos and send videos out to people and be in contact with them. You'll be able to see them and talk to them face to face. And these kids just started laughing and they said, why on earth would you want to do something like that? How many of you left the house today and left your cell phone at home? There's one. Oh, praise Jesus. There's two. So the rest of you got them in your pockets, don't you? Did you let yours at home? No, it's at the desk. Okay. That's a good thing. Yeah, at least shut it off when you come upstairs. But it's so amazing to me. We're attached at the hip, and some of us are attached at the ears because we got the earbuds in. And it just blows my mind because it's all about me. It's all about what I want. And oh, no, I'm not Pastor Rich. I'm not like that. Really? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Okay? I want you to understand, how many of us are all under the curse? We're all under the curse, but the curse has been taken away from us, okay? The ramifications of the curse has been taken away. But we still live in this world, and we're still subject to the things of this world and the one who runs this world. And it's understanding that these men, these people that's being talked about, they're all around us. And I don't know about you, but if there's a chocolate cake in the refrigerator, guess who's going to be eating some of it? Me. That's just the way it goes. And I need to understand that that cake is in there calling me. And you and I need to understand these men, these things, this stuff, it's all calling us. And we're going to fall to some of it. But boy, we need to be quick to repent. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because I'm telling you right now, when you get started into this stuff, it will drag you down and drag you down and drag you down. Because these people truly have infiltrated the church. You know, I want you to think about a very reality here. When we get into this, we're going to really get into this. You know, folks are like, well, you know, the church is really pretty good. The church is pretty good if it's a believing church. But how many churches out there truly believe that this is the Word of God, the whole thing? I come out of a denomination that denies this is truly the full Word of God, that the Word of God is in there, but they have to tell me where. Okay? That's why I left that denomination years ago, because that is not truth. From the very first letter to the very last letter, it is the Word of God, all of it, every bit of it. And there is nothing else unto man that will bring us unto salvation, say the Word of God. Last week, we heard testimony of that very same thing from our Gideon friends. And this gentleman, he was from New Zealand. How many of you loved his presentation last week? Was that awesome? Oh, my heavens. And I had to laugh. I had somebody actually said to me, they said, man, that's the first foreigner we've had, and I understood him. I said, well, they are from New Zealand, and they speak English rather well, just a little bit of an Aussie accent. But if you tell a New Zealander that, boy, they'll get insulted, because that's a Newsie accent. Don't be saying Australian. Excellent. I loved what he had to say, and the fact that God's Word is live and active, and it's changing lives, and that's what we need to remember. But when we look at this Word, there, God is setting us up for something here. Why do these men do boastful things? Why do they do hateful things? Why do they live without self-control? Why are they brutal? Because they're looking to gain something in this world. Okay? They're called deceivers. And deception always comes looking good, but it goes away, leaving a bitter taste in your mouth because you realize what it is. But as the church, as we go, we need to remember in the last days, difficult times will come. We need to be men and women of what? Discernment. Understanding that we need to be able to look into everything and everyone that comes to us and discern where they are and what their motives truly are. You know, anytime you have somebody in this pulpit, every one of you better be examining that man or woman, whomever it may be, and determining, is this a good individual? Is this individual bringing us truth? Or is this individual bringing us lies? Because there are only truth and there are only lies. Remember, Satan quoted scripture. Can I get an amen out of the church? But he twisted it just enough in its meaning that Jesus had to set him straight. And it's understanding that's exactly what is happening in the church today. It's what's happening in our world today. But then there are also those who completely abolish what is happening in the church. But this word was given to Timothy to give him charge over the church. We need to understand that this was written to a pastor. This is something we need to understand as the church, because whatever comes inside these four walls, not all of it is holy. How many of you realize that? Please remember, every time Jesus entered into an area with his apostles, Satan was right there. Judas was in their midst. That was from day one. Do you think it's any different now? It is not. And we need to be aware of what is going on. Now, does that mean we run around looking for Satan? No, he'll show himself. Okay? We don't have to worry about that. I hate churches that are looking under every pew for the devil. Would you find Jesus and walk with him? Can I get an amen? Because if we do that, we don't have to worry about the devil. We'll see him for who he is as soon as he shows up. But so many people are walking around looking for him that they can't even see him. And I don't think half of them know who Jesus is because they're so stuck in the things of the world. What do I mean by that? I want you to think about this. How many denominations call things that are an abomination before God okay? I want you to think about that. How many churches do you drive past that you see flying the rainbow flag and they are not celebrating Noah? It's mind-boggling. Now, that's where we all go because those are the lines. But the reality is, do you know that every one of those people that celebrate these things, that say, you know, hey, you know, it's my body, my choice. They didn't tell us that when we were getting the shots. But when they celebrate these things, yeah, you can laugh. I mean, they'll probably get canceled on YouTube for that one. You know, who cares? If the truth gets you canceled, count me out. When we think about all these things that are going on, we need to understand one thing. It's not these little things that we're fighting against. It's against the authority of Scripture. Because if the Scripture's true, then all these other things are lies. And all they're doing is trying to distract us and take us away. And that's what these men that are being spoken of here do. Let's read on. He says, "For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also." Now, does anybody know who those two people are that are being spoken of there? It's two men. Pastor David, who are they?
They were the false religious leaders of Egypt. Mm-hmm.
They were magicians.
Yeah.
They were magicians. And when Moses made his staff turn into a snake, they made staffs turn into snakes. And they knew the arts, the evil arts of deception. And that is exactly what we're being told here, is there are people who are being used of the devil to bring about the evil arts, where they are lying to the church, using something that looks similar, but saying other things to get another gospel preached. And that gospel is the false gospel. You know, it amazes me. Everybody says, "Oh, God is love," and everybody goes to heaven. No, they don't. We need to be rest assured that you're going to go to the place you have asked to go to. If you have said, "I want nothing to do with the God of the Bible," when you die, you will have nothing to do with the God of the Bible. He'll give you what you want. Well, what kind of God sends a person to hell? God doesn't send anybody anywhere. You get to choose where you're going to live for all eternity. He simply honors your request. We need to understand God is the most fair God of all gods. He is holy above all things. He cannot come against anything that he is. So therefore, God does not send you anywhere. He gives you exactly what you've asked for. And when you think about that, how many of us deserve death? But how many of us have claimed the cross of Calvary, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of the Lamb? Because we know we are not able. But God in his Son is. And when we walk there, who is he? What does John 1:1 say? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word And that's where we need to live and have our being, because I'm going to tell you right now, the times are going to get more and more difficult. How many of you see it? You know, I think about it. You know, it was going so good. Oh, man, the gas prices were coming down. And now this Iranian thing has kicked off again. And now we're back up to $5.50 a gallon for diesel. Lord, I can't afford groceries. Things are getting ridiculous." Well, you know what? It's going to get difficult. And we all need to understand that God has said to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He never said, "You're going to live like the Ritz." He said, "You're going to go through trials and temptations, though they'd be light and momentary." How many of you think it's light and momentary? I'll guarantee you, when we get to heaven and we are walking in eternity, we're going to look back and we're going to be able to say, "Wow, that was light and momentary, because I've got it all before me." When we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less time than when we first begun. These 80 years, 84, if by reason, according to the scripture, they're but a drop in the bucket of all time that we will see and be with our Lord. It's getting your mind into the eternal perspective and remembering we live in the kingdom now, not then, now. If you walked in these doors knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you have given yourself to Him, you are covered in the blood and you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has arrived. How many of you are walking in the newness of life in Jesus Christ? I got one guy. Oh, I got a lady. I got two, three, four, five, six, seven. Hey, there's more hands. Praise Jesus, people. I just said something. Praise Jesus, people. One of these days they'll take me serious when I say this stuff. I got to get more serious. Okay. Here we go. He says to us, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and suffering such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what?
Persecuted.
We need to understand something. We read that word and we think that people are going to come against us. I read that word and I know the truth. The devil is going to come against you and he is going to plague you with a bunch of stuff. And it's going to be stuff. It's going to be bladder cancer. And I call it out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, it's going to be cancer. It's going to be cancer. Where are they? Where's the cancer?
Gone.
What?
Gone.
What?
Gone. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Amen. Did you have your visit with your doctor? You said you're going to do a future plan. Now, we all know we've been praying for Mrs. She's been dealing with this thing for a long time. How'd it go? I know I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Did you hear what she just said?
We call down healing.
She just said to the church, I need healing. Did you just hear what she said? Elders, get off your feet or get on your feet. This does not sit on the pulpit for no reason. It sits on the pulpit because I believe the word of God. Does this church believe the word of God?
We believe the word of God.
She's coming here.
That's right.
We need to pray. Church, stand up. Reach out. Pastor David, please.
I anoint you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call down healing. We cast out all, excuse me, unhealthiness in this woman. This woman is your servant, Lord Jesus. She belongs to you. And we call on your name, Lord Jesus, for healing. This church calls on healing for this woman. And all of God's people said, And amen.
Folks, it is that truthful that when you believe, do you believe what you believe is really real?
Yes.
You're standing on your feet right now because Pastor asked you to stand up. A couple of you sat down. That's quite all right. Because we are the people who stand. Please stand up. And what do we stand on? The Word of God. Not a promise that's not going to happen. Not something that could happen. We stand on the Word where He says, by my stripes you are healed. When one of you is weak or sick, call the elders. Why do you think I called on her during a sermon? I didn't know where things were, but the Lord said, speak to her. That's the truth. I don't make this stuff up. I'm just a man. That's it. No better than any one of you here, and no worse than any one of you here. But when we hear His voice, are we going to listen? Because His voice is the Word. And that's what we do. And we wait to receive. Because the promise is that if we believe, you will receive. That does not mean you get to ask for whatever you want. That means it has to be in alignment with His Word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all realize y'all are still standing. What are you doing? You're standing on that Word. And that's where it's got to be. Because if you don't and you sit down, the evil one is going to walk all over you. We need to stand on the Word of God. And that goes for any one of you out there watching us right now. Because it is the Word of God. You may be seated. It is the Word of God that we stand on. And we come under its authority. And in its authority, we move and have our being. And we know that we are going to be persecuted by the evil of this world. It's going to keep coming at us until we finally get to the point where we say, enough, it's done. And we start walking in that truth. You know, we heard just last week about a brother, and it's so funny because it was so close to the story of throwing the Bible on the roof, right? The guy throws the Bible and hits another gentleman in the head. Now, do you think that God wanted the guy to get the Bible that got the Bible and threw it, or the guy that got knocked on the head with it? He wanted the guy that got knocked on the head with it. But guess what? He uses the insulin to get it to the insulated. Can I get an amen? And insulated means protected by God, called by Him since the beginning of time. If you are insulated by the Holy Spirit, you are going to have a divine appointment unto Him, and that is for the rest of your life. But the persecution is going to come. But you and I need to understand something. When that persecution does come, God gives us something that the devil can never take away, and he cannot defeat it. What is that? But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred things which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. May I get an amen. When you and I understand this word that we have just read, and what we have just done, because for Miss Susan, we all just came into agreement. We're seeing something in this church that most churches long to see. They're called miracles, people. They're called miracles. Because God intervenes into the life of His children, and He will do what He needs to do to bring forth healing, to bring forth prosperity, to bring forth all the goodness that His Word tells us is ours. But we're still going to go through difficult times because we're stuck in this world. This is a training grounds for the eternity that you and I are going to live in. And when we live there, we need to remember the first 1,000 years are still going to be years of time. And those are going to be years that we're here with Christ reigning on this earth, preparing for the eternal estate. So this life is going to come back, and we're going to yet see time before we enter into eternity where there is no time. And we'll have no idea how long we've been there once we get there. But as we live and have our being and we work this thing out, we are working out the salvation of our souls unto the eternal nature where we will be with God and we will be one with God. Do you understand what that means? You will literally think the thoughts of God and you will know God. Brothers and sisters, do we have any idea what we've been told? This word speaks to us to prepare us for what is coming. You and I got to get through this time. But I'm not just looking to get through it. I am looking to exercise the authority that the church has in Jesus Christ now. Because it is that authority and that power that the evil one's trying to strip away. Did we not read that? Did we not read that they are denying the power therein? How many churches out there do you think are going to have oil sitting on the pulpit or on the altar and literally believe that if the righteous pray, that the prayers of a righteous man are going to be answered? And when I say man, ladies, you know I mean you too as well. Can I get an amen out of the ladies? Because my Bible is not politically correct. It's understanding that when he says such things, he's talking about mankind, us. And in that, all of us have the authority of Jesus Christ unto his calling. Whatever he calls you to, guess what he's going to empower you to do? Everything and anything that that calling requires. How many of you are looking to live a godly life? I want to know God and to walk therein. Well, if that's what you want, then you need to start understanding this is the word of God. It is true. End of sentence. When are you going to let the evil one go and start believing the truth that we have? Now, as I said, that does not mean name it and claim it. That does not mean I want all of you running out to try and buy. I think it's up to like $500 million or something stupid like that, the lottery. You know, we're all going to run out and buy a lottery ticket today because Pastor said. Really? Because you just missed the whole point. The point is, in this life, the things that God has spoken to us, we will have. We will have victory. We will have hope. And my hope is not something that I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm going to open this pan. I hope. No, I know one thing. I am going to see the face of Jesus Christ. Am I prepared for it? I got to be honest with you. I'm scared to death. I am scared to death, but through Jesus Christ, I know I'll find life. Because I don't think I'm worthy of him. Not at all. I know this old boy. But I also know that he loved me so much that he crawled up on that cross and he spread wide his arms. And he said to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In ignorance, I have lived my life in vain of the Lord. But for the rest of my life, from the moment of my salvation until he calls me home, I will live every moment for him, believing that this word from the book of Genesis, from the very first word in to the very last word, which ends with a period. There will be nothing more for me to hold my hope in than the one who is the Word, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, pray with me. Father God, we come before you in this day and in this hour where it just seems like it keeps getting worse. Lord God, you've told us it's going to. And we see it and we come into agreement with your word. Because in it we will live and we will have life and we will be persecuted, but we will see victory and we will see the salvation of many. For that is the word that has come unto us, that there will be many who believe. And we are to snatch them right from the flames as it happens. So, Lord God, may you empower your people to understand, to realize, and to know that if you have proclaimed it in your word and we come under it in the truth of that word, and that's what it means to be in Jesus' name, that we're not making it unto ourselves, but that we're coming under it, that we will see the salvation of our souls and the life eternal that you have called us to. We'll see it now. And the power therein, through the name of Jesus Christ, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.